Good morning. With us, our political observer, Alan Chartok. And on a Tuesday morning, Alan, some muggy weather, it's summertime. How'd you like to be more than 4,500 homes and businesses in and around New York City this morning that are without power because of a problem with the grid?
Well, this is a sign of our society that every once in a while you get these blackouts or rolling blackouts, or people use more electricity. And, you know, one of those great things you do is you go into a dark room and you see how many green lights are on because of all of the power equipment that you have, your computers and everything else. And this just keeps getting worse and worse. And it is incumbent on the society to find ways other than using fossil fuel to do all of this. And we have that capacity. You know, one of the things that is so frustrating about doing this kind of work is that you see all the fixes that could be done, and in the name of short-term profit, which people couldn't possibly begin to spend, they ignore all of the problems like global warming and like fossil fuel, all of which we could have done something about. But people say, no, 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 it's not real. What? In the name of a few cents of profit? Their grandchildren, their children? And, you know, it is so discouraging. And the question, of course, is when people wake up, will they be so cognizant to say, well, you know, we could have done something here, but we didn't. It's really our fault.
Alan, the U.S. Embassy in Cuba has reopened after more than 50 years.
Well, it had to be. The aging population in Miami, that sort of was part of it. The younger people had no tolerance for this war in their parents, their grandparents' minds that had gone on forever. Look, Castro is not a nice man. The Castro brothers were dictators. They were brutal. They did hold on to power in any way they could. On the other hand, the United States did try to kill them. There was the provocations like Guantanamo sitting over there in Cuba, and there was plenty of blame to go around. So, you know, this was inevitable. It happened with the old Soviet Union and with Russia. It's happened with China. It was going to happen here. And things will get better because, as we know, based on what we're seeing in China and everywhere else, and Russia, you know, the world loves a sort of a capitalistic society. People like the potential for getting rich, even though most of them never will.
The Iran parliament set to review the text of the nuclear deal. They have a right to reject it, Alan, while President Obama turns to Ernest Moniz, the energy secretary, to help sell the deal to a highly skeptical Congress.
Well, you know, there's a lot of politics here. There is, of course, Israel and a very close ally of this country, and Netanyahu has been very clear about rejecting it. The Ayatollah and others in Iran are overjoyed that Israel is opposing it because it gives them the grounds to say, look, if they're against it, we must be for it. But it also makes you scratch your head and say, are we sure we're doing the right thing here? Because this is not an easy thing to look at. So you have politics on the one hand, you have people like Chuck Schumer poised to be the number one Democrat in the United States Senate and facing an election himself, scratching his head, saying, I have to read this thing very carefully. Nobody wants to lose votes. And my sense is this is not a done deal. It could well go against the president. To me, it looks good, but who am I?
Some raw politics. The Real Clear Politics website has some numbers up, Alan. I'll give you some of the matchups here.
Okay, go.
Clinton, 50. Bush, 44.
That is the close one. And that's the one that the Republican establishment wants to have happen. They want Bush to be the candidate. They won twice with Bush's. Well, more than twice, of course. Three times because the old man lost once, but then the other guy, W, got two. And that's the established way of getting into power and getting all those judges and everything else. So Bush is the one.
Clinton, 51. Trump, 34.
Democrats are down by the side of their bed saying, dear God, let it be Trump. And of course, Trump has never said he wouldn't run as a third party candidate, and that would be the end for them. Look, if he's the candidate, it's the end for them, because while he does very well with Republicans, he does not do very well with the middle class. That's where you see the difference in these polls between Bush and Trump. If it's going to be Hillary versus Trump, the middle class will go to Hillary. If it's going to be Hillary versus Bush, there's going to be a split with the middle class and the middle range voters.
Clinton, 59. Sanders, 19.
Yeah, but the 19 are very passionate.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, joining us. Thanks, Alan.
Right.